You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Ad Vanderveen has been on his songwriting journey since the early 90s, with an impressive catalog of songs and nearly 40 recorded CDs to his credit. "The music finds me," he said, and that it does. This Netherlands artist is set to release his latest project called Release, and he joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his musical journey and his latest CD. Good evening, Ad. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. Hi, Greg.
Glad to get a chance to talk to you in the Netherlands. I don't believe we have interviewed anybody in the Netherlands yet. You're in somewhere in the neighborhood. We've talked to some folks, but not where you are presently. So I appreciate that. That's awesome.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking a bit offline. You alluded to some Canadian roots. Did you grow up in Canada or the Netherlands or somewhere else?
In the Netherlands, but my mother's side is from Canada, Ontario. So as a kid, I came there, and I was always quite aware of the world over there, and I always loved it there too. And I don't know, for some reason there's a strong link, and especially also musically, I notice it. You know that I have a. The music that I make, I don't know why this comes out of me, but it's first of all, music can come out of you and it come at you from anywhere, so it doesn't really matter where in the world you are, but
right.
But it is connected to the Canadian side.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
You were sharing a bit of the language with me before we got on the call. Did you grow up speaking, for lack of a better word, the American dialect, or did you grow up with the Dutch language around you mostly?
Dutch.
Yeah, okay.
Mostly, yeah.
How did you speak very fluent, we would call it English. How did that become part of your vocabulary?
I don't really have a good answer for that. I think it's, again, it has to do with the Canadian folks that talking to them a lot and hanging out. And also, I mean, it's the music, it's the films, it's the whole,
sure.
I don't know, it just got into me. But it came natural, too. It's like,
interesting.
I didn't have to think hard about it, yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, okay. You've recorded quite a bit of music. Is your catalog predominantly in the English language, or did you do some Dutch language recordings as well?
I never did. It was all English from the start.
Really? Okay.
It's the way I think. It's the way I dream. I've been told even and it's the way I write. It's the way it comes. So
wow, that's
and
cool.
I have tried because of course I wondered about that a lot and. I have tried to somebody once asked me for a TV show to translate a song from English into Dutch, and I did. And it never really spoke to me in the same way.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it puzzles me, but I just follow it because it's like I follow the music. It's what it. I don't really always have to analyze how it happens or where it comes from. Uh-huh. I just take it when it is there.
Yeah,
and that's the way it is, and that's the way it is.
And you've been doing this a little while. You're not a you're not a newcomer to the music scene. When did you first begin pursuing music as a form of entertainment?
Well, you mean like as a form of entertainment? That's I never heard asked that way. I don't really see it like that, although it is, of course. But it's I started playing the guitar when I was young.
Uh-huh.
And then you play, and that's, you know, that's why they call it playing. It's playing like kids do.
Sure. Yeah, that's good.
And this I still do, but the writing part of it, that is the thing that really got me going. I think in my maybe 15 or 16, that was the time I first started to write some songs, and I thought, and that is a thing that really, it feels like a mission to me.
Okay.
And then you end up with songs, and they are like, they send you on your way. You have to follow those. You have to obey the songs.
Yeah.
And that happened from about that early age on, and they come, and that's what really sends me out there. If I wouldn't have the songs, I would probably have a regular job and play guitar, in my spare time or something. But
yeah,
the songs is really what I have to follow.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's not necessarily something you have to cultivate. You basically just have to release them versus, I talk to some people and they kind of have to get into their songwriting craft. They kind of have to create a space and sort of try to cultivate them. I don't think I hear you saying that.
No, I think you heard right. It's sometimes that you get access to a region or something. That's what it feels like.
Sometimes. Okay.
It's not all the time, but when I do get access to it, I have to really seize it. I really have to do it. But it presents itself, and it could be in the form of a lyric. It could be in the form of a piece of music. But usually, it's the lyric that will determine if it's going to be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've all kinds of bits and pieces of music, but it's not a song until you have something to say. And when that comes, I don't know, I try to remember it, and then it kind of snowballs, into songs. I can't always explain it. It happens beyond me, I think, mostly.
Yeah. Do you practice some sort of routine where you kind of collect these ideas and then take some time to sit down and mature them? Or if you get an idea, you have to go right now and work on it?
No, I let it play in the back of my head. I try not to touch an instrument right away.
Interesting.
Because that really nails it. And that really nails it. If you are too fast putting music to it, then it's not. If I let it play in my head and I give it time to grow, mm-hmm. then I can grab a guitar or maybe sometimes a different instrument, and then I can just follow what I hear in my head instead of follow the instrument.
Yeah.
And if I stick to what I hear in my head, it has a rhythm, it has a melody, and I just have to figure out the chords. And usually those are only two or three chords or four maybe.
Hmm.
And so that's why I say it's like, it's in my head or beyond there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come from the instrument.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, I do have some songs also where lately I've been picking up the mandola, and I really love to play that.
Mm-hmm.
I come from the guitar mostly, but the mandola really speaks to me. And it happened there where my fingers do some, playing and noodling, and then I get a thing out of that, and then the music or the words kind of fall into that. So it can happen the other way around as well.
Yeah. I was looking at the website and your catalog, and if my math was correct, it looks like you've either by yourself or maybe collectively, but you've had your hands on at least 40 different recorded projects. Am I close to that
is
number?
Is that right? That's scary. I haven't counted, but okay. That is scary.
Well, maybe I miscounted, but there was quite a few there, and I was very impressed by the catalog.
So. I know it's quite a line. I try to keep it down, Greg, I have to tell you. It's not my goal to write as much as possible, but it's just my goal to follow it when it's there.
Yeah.
But I do sometimes feel, you know, like, oh boy, here comes another record, you know, when I have like 10 or 12 songs and it feels like, you know, like a unity, it has a unity to them, then uh-huh. I have to put it out.
Uh-huh.
Even though I do realize that the previous one is only not even a year old most of the time.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, you know, here he comes again. And I sometimes feel like, but I can't stop it. And I don't see why I should stop it.
Well,
so
no,
I follow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's not my you know, my goal to write as much as possible. It just happens, and I follow it. But it's quite a, it's true. It goes from the early 90s when I went on my own. Before mm-hmm. that, I played in bands, and
mm-hmm.
But it's like 30 years. Yeah, and that every year is something else, and until it stops, and so it yeah is it more than 40? I haven't dared to count it.
Yeah, well, I counted 40 very quickly, so I may have
missed,
but there was quite a few, which was very impressive. And when you get a chance to share these with an audience, do you dig back into that catalog? Could you, you know, if you decided you wanted to go back 15 years and pull one of the CDs and play one of those songs, are they collectively in your mind that way, or would you have to go back and refresh yourself with? If you wanted to pull some old things back in, would you have to go back
yeah.
and rework them again?
I would definitely have to refresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because some of them I don't even remember, of course, because this is way too much to remember.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a bit like a computer. You have a working memory when you go out of like maybe 25 to 30 songs that are ready to play. But beyond that, I really have to... sometimes there's a request from someone and... Then I have to really refresh it
yeah.
and bring it back.
Wow.
It doesn't take too long, but it should, you know, it should be brought into the working memory, or what you call that on the computer.
Yeah, the RAM, the random access memory.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
Is it mostly solo that you play, or do you have a band, a group of other musicians that you play out with?
Well, solo is the bottom line. I really enjoy going out alone because I really like to be... Then there's nothing between you and the audience. It's
mm-hmm.
just you and the song and the audience. But having said that, I regularly work with a core group of people, and it's mostly acoustic combo. My wife joins me on harmony vocals, Kirsten Delingy. She's with me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Tim, my friend Tim on the bass. He joins a lot. And then there's my old friend Jan Erik. He plays the pedal steel, who's with me again lately.
Mm.
And then there's some other people, you know, that sometimes you hook up with. And it depends on the distances and the schedules and the budgets and... But there is a group of people that I return to, and some of them go back 40 years even.
Mm, wow, that's cool.
So that's nice, yeah. That's really nice. The bottom line for me is doing the songs. And I also like to be, you know, not distracted and just to be going straight for the songs and having doing the very minimal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then also for years I've had a garage band, a pretty loud electric band, which I love to play with also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to get the, you know, you get some anger out and you get some more, you know, you get a different thing. Although my ears, you know, I want to take care of my ears. I shouldn't do that too much anymore because I'm my own worst enemy when I play electric guitar. I really like improvising and lose track of time but it gets pretty loud and
yeah.
Somebody once told me, a doctor said when I was 30, 35 or something, he said, if you go on like this, you won't be able to hear speech by the time you're 50.
Oh my.
and so I took that to heart, but I still went on. But I, yeah, as you grow older, you know, it's the acoustic part is definitely what stays. I can grow old with that.
Right. Well, I think especially in the world that we're in today, audiences like to hear the authenticity of musician and the words, especially when you feel like there's a message to share. We need to hear more than just chords. You know, we need to hear the words too.
I totally agree.
And so the acoustic, folky, bluesy, bluegrass, rootsy side of that allows the audience to get up close, like you said, and put nothing between you and the artist and whatever it is you feel like you need to say. I think we need that more these days.
I totally agree. And I hope that goes for everyone, because it's there should always be a place for that. It's where it originates, it's where it's comes from, and it's where, you know, it's a timeless. It'll always be there. So yeah, that's where my love is.
When you play out, is it mostly in the area which you live, or do you get to tour into Canada and the United States? Has that been part of what you have done in the past and look forward to doing?
Yeah, I do. It happened, although it's usually is Europe is you know, that's the most regular work I get is Holland, and especially Germany is next door, is a big country, so I drive into Germany a lot, and then once in a while I go over to Canada or the U.S. when there's something to be done there. But there's so much great music there that, you know, they don't really need me, but I love to come there, and I do go over from time to time.
Do you have a favorite kind of venue or setting that you really enjoy over some of the others that you look forward to?
Yeah, well, generally I like the intimate rooms where people are silent and, well, you know, of course, the bigger the places get, the less intense it gets.
Mm-hmm.
You get more energy, but you get less communication, I get the feeling, always.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I like those places where, you know, like they're like privately run organizations. They're not even organizations, just music fans, you know. They put on a show somewhere and there's like maybe 60 or 80 people sitting there. And it's just, that's just right, you know. You could even do it without any equipment. It's so intimate and it's so together. It's, you know, that's what I like very much.
Yeah.
And most of my work is like that.
Yeah. 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 I like the house concert setting.
30
or 40 that folks goes, and the musician. Yeah.
Yeah. That's lovely. Yeah. So it happens in all shapes and sizes, actually. Sometimes you're in a festival or at a festival or in a bigger room. And I love to do that as well. But there's something about those little rooms, you know, that you really get an intensity from that.
Yeah.
And that's where you feel that it goes deepest.
So the new record is called Release, right? I have that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that came out in May. Tell me a little bit about that.
Boy, that feels like it was last year already.
Have you written three more already?
I'm on my way to a new one.
Yeah, I figured.
Well, not as a record, but I'm just on my way writing songs.
Sure,
I don't do it for a record. I do it for the songs.
Of course,
so, and those songs came to me, most of them last year.
Yeah.
There's always a delay there, and what can I tell you? It's all acoustic based. It's all based on an old guitar I have, and I love the sound of it, and I kept it very close to the bone, although I did, you know, use some people to dress it up a little bit. And my wife is always there, almost always there. Not on every song, but when there's a good chorus with a harmonizing part, she'll be there.
Yeah.
And I think I kept pretty close to the music I've always made. It's not like, you know, you can say it's that kind of record, or to me, it's a continuum. It always goes on, and yet it's always different. And I don't know. It's a mystery to me how it works. But each record seems to have its own identity.
That's cool.
And this one has a very plain, simple folk identity to me. It's like three chords, simple chords we've all heard before, melodies we've all heard before, but I relate to them in a way. The words, they fall into it very naturally. I didn't think about it. The songs, they just came, and I followed them, and I recorded them pretty, you know, natural, organic. I have no big production skills, although I find it very important that instruments and voices sound, you know, sound their best, of course,
but
not at the expense of sound per se. It should be, I like it when you catch a song before you know it. Usually there will be sound checks or you know, you check it out. They're all demos, actually.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like 1, 2, 3, 4 tape is rolling. That's murder for music. It's a thing that, you know, kind of catches me off guard, and then suddenly it's on there, and then I try to make it sound as good as possible. And
interesting.
Yeah. And try and have less say more.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. That's cool. Well, this has been fascinating, Ad. I always enjoy hearing how an artist creates, and very unique what you have and what you've done over the years, and I hope it continues for you, and love for you to get over and join us in the States, and love to get a chance to see you somewhere. If folks would like to listen to your music, look at your catalog, listen to the new record, what's the best way for them to do that?
That's a good question, especially in the U.S. and Canada. It's not even out there to say. It's like the streaming services, that would be the best bet.
Okay.
So that's the thing, that's everywhere. Records these days is a funny world, as you know.
Yeah. Are most of your or all of your records still available in print? Are they...
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No, they, you know, it's like, no, it's like, the new one will be there for like maybe 2 years, 3 years. And then, and then the other new ones, they'll have, you know, they take over and the old ones get out of print. And with the numbers of CDs you do these days, you sell these days, it's not worthwhile printing a new batch. So it's going to be... I think it's going to be streaming. I'm not fond of it, but it's the world today.
Right. And is all of the your catalog available in the streaming environment?
It isn't. No, it isn't.
Okay.
It might be, but I haven't really got it all together. And also, you know, I've stopped listening. I don't listen to my own stuff, but I kind of have a feeling from where it starts to be interesting. And then like the earlier stuff is, I don't know, that I don't think I'll have it up on the streaming services.
Okay.
But I might, I'm not sure.
So
there's enough new stuff to focus on.
Sure. Yeah. So what's the website? Where can folks reach out or connect with you? Otherwise,
the website is called adverveen.com.
And that would be adverveen.com.
Correct. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And they can reach you there, correspond with you there. And I know you have some of your videos up, and they can at least follow you there and track with what you're up to lately.
True. Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the Facebook things, and all those things are in place. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways to get to people these days.
For sure. Yeah, good. Well, thank you, Ad. Yeah. I appreciate it. I appreciate your time.
Well,
and
so do I, Greg. Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's good. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.